begin with a word of prayer. Lord, we give thanks that you are the Lord of time. And so help us, Lord, to think properly about the time and about the opportunities and about your lordship and our stewardship in all of life. It's in Jesus' name I pray. I've told you the story before about the two salesmen who landed at a place where no one wore shoes. One salesman wrote back to the main office with a simple message, "It's hopeless. No one here wears shoes." The other one, on the other hand, was giddy with his message and said, "What an incredible opportunity. Get ready for the hugest order ever." Recognizing opportunity does not come easily. We need the Lord's help for that. It doesn't come easy unless we're seeking the Lord's wisdom. And that's the stewardship that's been entrusted to us. In fact, to all humanity, God requires that they glorify and enjoy him forever. That applies to every human everywhere. Most do not recognize those opportunities. Most rebel against that very notion. Far too often, we do the same. We fail to recognize opportunities as the Lord provides, and sometimes we recognize them and just fear to go there. As one year ends and another begins, it's wise for us to consider our stewardship, the one entrusted to us. And I think these two passages help us with that. Luke 9 sets it in the context. Jesus is defining what it means to be his disciples. He had just asked, who do the people say I am? Who do you say I am? And that wonderful confession of Peter, "You are the Christ, the Son of God." And so Jesus responds to that with this challenge. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me if you would be my disciple. That negative, deny yourself, requires that we look at our own hearts and the idols that have taken up residence there. Can't do that on our own. We can't see our own problems very well, and so we need God's help. But it gives us the Spirit working through the Word to rebuke and to correct us about our sin and our foolishness, so that through the Word and prayer and fellowship, we recognize what it is we have to turn away from, what it is we have to say no to, what it is we have to deny. And we need to do that in that context where Jesus warns, you know, when one demon is cast away, be careful, because seven more or worse ones would come in and fill that spot. And so the negative here has to quickly be followed by the positive. Deny yourself, take up your cross. Now the cross that Jesus died on, only Jesus is qualified for that work. That work of being a sacrificial substitute, an atoning substitute for your sins and mine. But in the sense that cross is the work that God has for us to do, in God's economy, every single one of us has work to do for his kingdom's sake. And an incredible breadth of opportunity set before us every day. Lord, what work would you have me do as a parent or as a child, as an employer or an employee, as your servant, in all the places you're sending me to? Again, far too often all of us fall short with that, but with the Lord there is forgiveness, even as we turn away and turn towards him. And Ephesians 5 gives us the comprehensive picture then of what this looks like on a moment-by-moment basis as we cultivate habits of grace. Verse 15, Paul begins here by challenging the church. Look carefully then how you walk. That word walk literally has the idea of walking by strict rule, of marching in step, of staying in the right space at the right time. It's a term Paul likes to use to talk about our daily lives, how we are to live in this world under God's direction. God's direction are called laws. Laws, not suggestions, but requirements that he sets before us. boundary lines that he sets for us and requirements that he gives to us, not to rob us of our fun, but to show us the way of blessing. Now, to avoid God's laws, to avoid God's rules, is to put yourself in a place of misery or pain and suffering. Imagine taking your family on a family hike and you came to a sign that says, "Hunt Club, do not trespass." You said, "Oh, that doesn't apply to me. I'm going this way." That might not work out so well for your family. And sometimes we just, because lightning doesn't come down and strike us, we sometimes think, oh, breaking God's law has no consequence. But the consequences are very real. Wherever you're suffering misery in your life, that's a consequence of sin. Wherever you have brokenness in your life, that's a consequence of not heeding God's word. And Paul here begins with that instruction. Look carefully to how you're walking in your daily life. To look carefully is not, again, just the negative, but the positive. Are you reading and studying and meditating and memorizing God's word, the very words of life? Are you praying, "Lord, direct my steps"? Are you seeking the wise counsel of others who know more or have experienced more than you? Again, in this context, to be unwise doesn't mean you don't know the right thing. It's that you know it and you don't do it. You ignore it. Be careful how you live. Verse 16, he adds on, make the best use of the time. Now, this verse, I was on vacation one year and went to a church, and the pastor proceeded to use this verse to preach for half an hour on time management. That's not what this verse is about. I don't manage time. I have no power over time. My life would be very different if I did. This verse is not an encouragement for you to take control of your life. In fact, it's the exact opposite of that. And part of denying myself is recognizing I'm not in control of time or of anything else. Now, one way we get this wrong as believers is we make our plans and say, "Lord, bless this." That is not what this verse is encouraging us to. The word that's used here for time is not the one that's used to refer to general or broad sweep of time. In Greek, that word is chronos. But it's the word that speaks about a significant or favorable moment, an opportunity, kairos. It's the name for the ministry that John's part of, that when men are in prison, there's an opportune time there to reach into their lives. And the fruit of that is being seen, as John reported to us. And that's what's involved here. God, make the best use of the opportunities God sets before you. Our calling here is to recognize the Lord of time by recognizing he's putting opportunities before us all the time. Now, most of those opportunities don't come with big sign. Here's an opportunity! Most of the time, they're just there. And if we're not listening to the Lord, if we're not walking with the Lord, we miss those opportunities. Opportunities to glorify him and to enjoy him. Opportunities to bless and to serve others. To be who God made us to be and who God redeemed us to be. To realize the blessedness that he wants us to live in. Again, it's got to begin with this denying, recognizing it's not my time or my plans. But Father, who do you want me to be? What do you want me to be about today or in this moment? Paul in other places talks about being instant or constant in prayer. It's having this God awareness moment by moment by moment. Lord, what would you have me do? You know, if your children act out and are making you look bad, the great opportunity is to make that a teachable moment. But what kind of a teachable moment? Lord, what's going on here? What is it you want me to learn? What is it you want me to help them to see in this moment? And sometimes it might involve a swift action towards their rear quarters. Sometimes it might be to get down on the floor and weep with them over some kind of loss that they're experiencing that you just don't really get. Lord, what would you have me do? What would you have me be? You know, someone comes up to you and begins to share their life story, and you're thinking, I don't have time for this. Well, if God's the Lord of time and he put them in your life at that moment, guess what? He'll take of all that other stuff that's on your list. And he's calling you to listen and to encourage and to share in that moment. The challenge here is not that we should never make plans, but the plans that we make are always being directed by the Lord. And recognizing he's free to redirect them at a moment's notice, or no notice at all. And so we do that by asking him, Lord, help me to be aware of the opportunities you are presenting. Lord, give me the right words to speak at this moment. Not words necessarily that are going to make me look good, because it's not about me. But give me words, Lord, that will glorify you and be a blessing to this person you've put in me. Lord, give me a heart that's willing to serve and recognizes those opportunities to serve as you provide them, especially, Lord, when I don't want to serve. Asking him to do more than we could ever hope to accomplish in our own strength. That's part of what it means to take up your cross. That which looks like foolishness and loss and defeat is often the very thing God is using to bring redemption and salvation. Verse 17 adds in the, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Again, foolishness is one who does not do and does not use what God has given him to. That we do not use the truth, we do not use our brains, we do not use the opportunities. Foolishness is saying, no, this is what I want. That will get us nowhere. But understanding God's will leads in a very different direction. But it requires trust. Just why we spend time with him in his word, to remember, to remind ourselves, to learn that he is good. And faithful and true. So that a circumstance and opportunity present themselves, we stop and ask, what has God said about this? Lord, what would you have me do about this? Lord, grow my faith that your work in the midst of this. And don't be confused. Sometimes that choice is about good and evil, and they're that far apart. But a lot of the time, it's a choice between good and great. You know, Jesus was invited to stay here with us and do more miracles. That was good. People were coming to faith and being blessed. But the Father had other work for him to do. And so the great plan was to leave those people and to send disciples back to them at some later point with the truth and the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's the point here. Here it all comes together in verse, be filled. More literally, keep on being filled. Nature abhors a vacuum, and we live in a world where people are trying to fill themselves with all the wrong stuff, trying to grasp onto eternity with things that are falling apart. It doesn't work. That's just logical. And yet, we try it again and again and again. And you know what that is, right? Definition of insanity? Trying the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. We live in an insane world. We're too often part of it. The opposite is, Lord, fill me with your spirit. Give to me more of yourself. Again, Augustine said, our hearts aren't restless until we find our rest in you. Lord, give me yourself that I might know that rest, that I might be your blessing to others. Here's the very thing God most delights to give to us. himself by the Holy Spirit. And so asking him for this pleases him. You're not a bother when you ask for the Spirit. You're not asking for too much. The Spirit is infinite and eternal. He's not going to run out. Lord, fill me. Keep on filling me. You know, when the Lord calls us to himself, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Set apart, called, regeneration, given faith, justified, adopted, and start down that long road of sanctification and are made glorious even though we hide it well. But this being filled is something different. It's this idea that as God's people, we're funnels. Funnels are not worth anything if you plug up one end. They're only worth something if you're pouring in one end and it's flowing out the other. And that's what we're made to be. When we're asking to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we also need to be asking, Lord, where would you have me serve? How would you have me bless? How would you have me give to others in keeping with what you're giving me? And the great thing about funnels, again, is the part where it comes in, huge. Where it goes out, small. God is not going to expect you to give more than what he's giving to you. And if you're not asking, though, then who do you have to rely on? Truth be told, we don't have much. So keep on being filled. Again, this command, this is a command. Keep on being filled. It's plural. It's for every believer, not just for the privileged few. It's in a passive voice. It's not a technique or a formula of where we get it. It's that we're receiving from the Lord for it. It's in the present tense, which tells us this is a continual action, a constant need. And it's not an event. Again, think of a funnel. You fill it up, it's empty, quick. It's a continuing, ongoing process. Because God chooses to work through me. God chooses to work through you. But only as we're filled with his Spirit. As his word, by the Spirit's power, takes root in our hearts and begins to grow us in his grace, that we then are enabled to speak his words and to join him with his work. In fact, we didn't print it in the bulletin, but the 19 through 21 tells us what it looks like to be filled with the Spirit. And it's about cultivating three direct things. First of all, being filled with the Spirit is about cultivating worship. The first aspect of the Spirit's work is that we're enabled to speak God's words with joy in our hearts, back to him, to one another, to all the world, from the heart, because the Spirit has placed that word within our heart. And our worship is not just what we do on Sunday morning, but being God's people and his ambassadors and praising him and acknowledging him and serving him. The word for worship is the exact same word as serve. When you're serving him, you're worshiping him. 24/7. Wake up in the middle of the night, maybe he's inviting you to pray. Lord, how would you have me worship you? Fill me with your Spirit even now. We're all created to be worshiping beings. It's only the Spirit who shows us the one who alone is worthy of our worship. Secondly, being filled with the Spirit is that we're more and more able to cultivate thanksgiving. That's not a small thing. As you look through most of Scripture, what you'll find out is thankfulness is the clearest sign of spiritual maturity. Someone who has a complaining spirit is not being filled with the Spirit. Because the Spirit leads us to thanking the Lord for all things at all times. That doesn't come natural, does it? Complaining, now that comes natural. But being filled with the Spirit, making the most of every opportunity, is that we begin to trust and to see God at work here. This didn't surprise him, even though it surprised me. And he's promised to bring good. Lord, help me to trust you. Help me to be thankful, and help me to share that thankfulness with others who can't see any reason to be thankful about this circumstance. The Spirit sets us free to see, to trust, to believe, and to give thanks all the time for all things in Christ. And thirdly, cultivating relationships. Final blessing of the Spirit is that we're free to submit to one another. We're all made in God's image. God's great delight is in serving one another within the Trinity. And our great delight in being made in His image is to serve Him and to serve one another. And as we're filled with the Spirit, He redirects our hearts, because it's more blessed to give than receive. To be like Jesus, who did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom. Lord, how would you have me serve? In this context, at this time, with these people, fill me with your Spirit that I might deny myself and do the work you have for me to do, loving you and loving others. Now, this last one, we increasingly live in a day of loneliness. What a difference it would be if we all were Spirit-filled and truly recognized the lonely around. And trusted the Lord to use us to be His blessing to them. Here's the stewardship: to glorify and enjoy God in every moment and every opportunity, and to be His blessing to others. Keep on being filled with His Spirit, growing in His grace that His words might be on your mouth, your thoughts, you might dare to trust Him to be thankful for all things and be His blessing as you serve others. Let's pray. Oh Lord, help us to remember our stewardship, not to take for granted that these days will last forever or that they're ours, but that you are our God and we are your children. And so help us to make the most of every opportunity, not being foolish. Fill us with your Spirit that we might have hearts to hear and hearts to obey, to the praise of your glory. In Jesus' name.